Welcome, dear listeners, to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. As always, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, greeting you from our studios in Prashanthi Nilayam. And with me to co-host the show is, as always, Brother Sai Prakash. And as we had last week the pleasure of having the company of Professor G. Venkatraman, we have it this week too. So we're glad to welcome him to this week's show also. Sairam sir, welcome to you.
Thank you once again.
We are in the penultimate discourse in that series, the 1990 Samakos series. And Swami is talking about the topic of the discourse is Ascent of Man. And we saw in the first part of the discourse how very beautifully Swami brings in the concept of morality in society and how that is intertwined with a spiritual upbringing and a spiritual environment. And one of the most striking points which Swami made in the clips we played last week was where Swami is talking about the unity of thought, word, and deed. Those who, whatever you preach, you have to live it. And Swami plays with these words where he says, you know, everybody wants to be a Vedantalu. You know, those who talk about Vedanta, but Swami says, whom, the kind of people we want are Dantalu. You know, those who have control over their senses.
Correct. Sir, while I was just reading this first part of the discourse, I just had a doubt where Swami is talking about morality and integrity. Mm-hmm. Whether this topic of morality is taught in the Gita, because what I felt when I read through the meanings in the Bhagavad Gita, it's more or less for the spiritual aspirant. And there is the ideal karma marga, bhakti marga and jnana marga. Mm-hmm. Is morality an individualistic approach and his behavior and his growth in the spiritual line, or is it related with society as such?
The question is born, in my opinion, yes, out of confusion in the mind of the people,
sir,
about what exactly is morality.
Yes.
And in my view, the Bhagavad Gita is really a discourse on morality.
Okay.
How do I explain that? In the following way. We are humans.
Yes.
We have a body, etc., etc. And that is very important. Whether we like it or not, we live in the gross world and we have a gross body.
Yes.
It has other elements derived from the divine. And the gross part of universe is really a play of Prakriti.
Okay.
And in Prakriti, there are gunas. We talk of three basic gunas. Tamoguna, Rajoguna, Sattvaguna. But you can mix them in any number of ways to get any number of what you call shades. This is like your color TV. The three basic colors are red, RGB, green and blue. But if you mix that, you will get all sorts of shades of pink. Pink does not exist in nature. It is a perceived color. Similarly, brown does not exist in... Rainbow has natural colors, mm-hmm, as given by God, electromagnetic spectrum. These are all perceived colors. Maroon is a perceived color. There are so many such colors. So in the same way, gunas can manifest in many ways. There are broad categories. Another thing is, you may be a tamoguna chap, mm-hmm, useless fellow, but suddenly you may feel a bit compassion, there's a dog there, you may throw it a piece of bread. So there is a temporary spike. Likewise, there may be what you call a sattvic person. He may temporarily lose his control and become nasty, so the stock market will take a dip. So when he talks about gunas, he's talking about behavior.
Okay.
And then he says, you must rise about that. You talked of ascent of man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is really the ascent of man. Ascent of man is going beyond what binds you, human bondage.
Correct.
Even a sattvic man has some desires. My daughter must get married. My son must get a job. They are harmless. But they relate to the body. Right. Come on, man, get out of the body consciousness. So, and you get out of body consciousness. So what? You become one with me. So what? I contain within myself all the goodness which you describe via various attributes. Satya, it's in me. Dharma, it's I am the source. Prema, Kshama, Tyaga, you name it, I got it, to use a proper thing. Now, since you and I am one, are one, but you are having a form, you must try to come to me by ascending. How do you do that? The more you exhibit or manifest my attributes via your actions, thought, word and deed, you will slowly start getting attached to me and detached from the world. Mm-hmm. That is the ascent. The balloon must go up, so you must cut all the things that are anchoring it.
Right.
And morality is a word that comprehensively describes this in relation to the actions of the individual, with respect to the actions of the individual in relation to others. Others in the family, the teacher, and members of the community, society as a whole, and also Prakriti.
Okay.
Right. I say it is immoral to unnecessarily cut a tree.
Mm.
It is immoral to kill a tiger. That is why in India, we worship all forms. Even more than we worship gods.
Hmm.
You don't go and destroy a mountain just because you might want to mine gold or platinum recklessly. Now that is going on. So morality is a comprehensive word. And it has got what I call a basis. In mathematics we talk of a basis. That means it must be anchored in some principle. And the principle is a divine principle. Adhyatmikam, you can say, and Deva Tattvam, Swami uses many words. That is principle. Today, we do one of two things, because this Deva Tattvam is very inconvenient. So you say, all right, I will be devotee, but then I'll shut the book, I'll come and behave like this. Swami says, this is like a policeman wearing a uniform when he goes to duty, or a Muslim woman wearing a burqa when she goes out. Inside the house, she doesn't wear it. That is bogus devotion. So whether it is karma, or bhakti, or jnana, there is some bogus version. I talk a lot, but I don't practice it.
Mm.
So my relationship with society is bogus. But I will come and do puja, I will do yaga, I will do yajna, all those things. The other extreme is really most dangerous. I first abolish God. Then I keep on changing the goalpost. Imagine a soccer match. The fellow has got a button, a cell phone app to move the goalpost. You go there and suddenly it goes there. And the other guy also does it. Then there'll be chaos. That is what is happening today. So integrity is convenient. I demand integrity when I go to shop. That fellow cheated, I say. But when it comes to me selling something to him, I am ready to cheat. See, that is business. That's survival. You cannot do anything. So really speaking, character is the manifestation of divine qualities in the ultimate sense. A good man will have good character. And good character is a sense of what God is.
Mm-hmm.
That way, we have to really read between the lines of the Gita.
Right.
Mm.
That's all.
So if you look at it, as sir said...
Am I clear?
Yes,
very much.
No, we say that we, in India at least, in the Bharatiya culture, we tend to worship all forms as forms of divine. But still we see, as you said, the mining, which is not right, in cutting of trees... Is it that in somewhere we have given more importance to the form of money as God than the others? Or is it that to a certain extent, overemphasis of certain duties? Because there are some people who say that I'm taking care of my family eventually and that's my duty, which is not right. Is it a sense of overemphasizing certain values and duties and losing that balance?
See, there are two points we made here. You can't just live like a rock without eating, without doing anything.
Right.
Action is a part of life. So even Rama had to build a hut, which means he had to cut some trees and all that. he had to do greva prahesam, and though he was practicing vegetarianism, he hunted animals and offered it to God, less like humans do. That is a Kshatriya Vamsam practice. Now coming to your question, one of the important things is you don't make distinctions. I have to look after my parents. If I am fully absorbed in that and see God in my parents, truly and really,
mm-hmm.
then I get full marks. It is not as if I have to go, oh, quota, I must fill this quota. It is how much my mind is concentrated on God and His teachings. That is why we have the famous story of the squirrel in the Ramayana. What can a squirrel do? There is a quality. Swami always says, I don't look for quantity, I look for quality. Even if you fail, I don't care.
Mm.
Success is what your boss wants, manager wants. I don't want success, I want bhava. As was mentioned in the previous program, the bhava, the feeling. You identify, what can I do to make you happy? Will this make you happy? That's enough. So, we should not, you know, minimize or maximize. After all, there is a watchman. What can a watchman do? Can he go and do a water project or something like that? As long as he is faithful to his assigned task, as assigned by divinity. Krishna says, I have put you in that spot. Do your duty nicely. If somebody comes, they ask, is this the house? Get out. This is the wrong house. You don't say, so not this house, but whom are you looking for? Can I help you? It is possible to be pleasant and helpful in any act of life. There is a famous story about the Crimean War. It's a very brutal war. That's where Florence Nightingale established the profession of nursing. It didn't exist before.
Mm-hmm.
She forced herself and all that.
Mm-hmm.
We had to study a poem called Lady with the Lamp.
Right.
Yes.
And there was a general dying at the time because of wounds and all that. You feel very thirsty. He said, get me some water. And there was a soldier lying next to him. He said, water, water. And the nurse brought. He told, his need is greater than mine. Let him have the water, I die. So, even on deathbed you can do seva. I often say, if you are hospitalized and all that, don't say I can't do seva. You just say samasta lokas pinobhavantu. How many fellows are prepared to say that?
Correct.
So, there is a very beautiful and subtle interpretation of morality, duty, and connecting it to something unchanging.
Right.
So that goalpost is not created by you and not, it cannot be changed by you. Whereas, in real life, if I make the rules, I can change the rules.
Morality is heavily anchored on selflessness and sacrifice, it looks like.
Morality is seeing, these are what you call actions. Mm-hmm. Actually, ultimately it is seeing God everywhere and identifying with it. So, the word Tyaga is never applied to God. Okay. Though we call him Tyagaraja.
Mm-hmm.
Swami says, I do it because I love you. Mm-hmm. That is my nature. You call it Swami sacrifice so much for us.
Mm-hmm.
The word sacrifice does not exist in God's dictionary. But we, who are inadequate, look at it as a supreme sacrifice. In a sense, from our perspective, that is correct. But from his perspective, there is no sacrifice. I do it because it is natural to me. I cannot be anything else.
Correct.
And I think in the later part of that clip which we played last time, Swami spoke about the dying of idealism in amongst the youth in the society. What could one pin it on, sir, because I think it was not so, at least during the independence struggle, there was some kind of idealism, something to look up to, which has died over the years, especially in the later part of the century. And Swami is saying it's not only because of the youth, it's because of the teachers, the parents, they don't seem to be encouraging them to go for more selfless goals.
This is in a large measure due to the society as a whole changing its standards.
Okay.
Usually we try to conform. Now, being good is considered a waste of time. Occasionally the TV will come and do a program, this man is doing so much this, that, when they have run out of masala regarding scandals, politics and all that. World Cup, gas nahi hai. So what do? You take a rickshaw wala, is helping others and all that. And the second thing is, technology, which has taken away our time. People say, I have no time. I would say they are not using their 24 hours properly. They waste a lot of time. Tremendous amount. You don't even brush your teeth, but you have to update your Facebook. I don't know what it means. Frankly, I don't know what it means. But they keep doing that. I just don't know. And especially in the airport and all that, everybody is doing something or the other with the cell phone. I don't know what it is. But if you surrender your time and your goal is to be acknowledged by your peers, so-called, and there are forces that make you do it, the subtle suggestion is put in the mind by the media. Now, this social media has grown so big, it is a power unto itself.
Right.
So, essentially, we are wasting time setting up wrong norms. And then say, I don't know how to be this, I don't know how to be that and all that. Why do I have to listen to this? There is a fellow who talks about a place where the hotels are very expensive. But a lot of people come there. The reason is, there is no phone. There is no Wi-Fi. There is no TV. So you have to pay money what you used to get free.
This is amazing.
No, there is a fellow called Pico Ayer. He gives talks. He's very intelligent. He must be half French and half Indian, Pico Ayer. And he says it's very difficult to get bookings there.
My God.
The only sound you can hear are birds. Things like that. That has become a saleable commodity. What is freely available in Puttaparthi?
It's true.
I don't know how they make bookings. They probably make bookings somewhere else where there is internet connection. And they may have a special communication. This fellow is coming. And
here, Swami very beautifully adds one more point. He says, morality is achieved only through control of senses.
Absolutely.
And
there is a very simple reason. The body in the mind are essentially things that below the senses, what we call. And that is why Swami insisted on mind and sense control. My shorthand for that is MSc. You must pass MSc. That's the way I used to take notes, MSc. When those days, when I was taking notes from discourses. So that is very important. That is what is called bandham. What makes me want this car or that car? Attachment. Attachment is part of Prakriti. So, you must get out of Prakriti at some point. You came out of Prakriti, but you don't have to be stuck there. You have to get out.
He says,
that is what the ascent of man. Going, Krishna makes it very clear. Play of Prakriti, you will have gunas, you have to go one by one, and then go beyond.
In fact, it's interesting when we talk about senses, because animals are also having the same senses that humans have. Mm-hmm. But their senses are more or less directed by the law of nature. And they have no control over it.
That's right. Actually, I would put it differently. There is what I call a regulating hardware.
Okay.
That's the brain. In the case of animals, it is hardware.
Okay.
In the case of humans, there is an operating system which you have to load. If you put a cracked version, then it is devil will have fun. If you buy original version, and God says, I give it to you free.
You'll have to download it straight from the main, main server.
He says, I give it to you free. You don't have to pay anything. But for heaven's sake, load it and use it. So, even if you put that, there is a hacker. The hacker will try to send viruses. So there are plenty of hackers around. And even if you start with a good OS, operating system, there are fellows who will send you. they will stand around and say, comes cheap, bargain sale, Christmas sale. So that is another problem. And you have to guard against those viruses. That is where mind and sense control become absolutely important. So really, it is, Gandhi says in that film, famous film, nobody can take away my self-respect unless I surrender. Similarly, we are surrendering all the abilities. In one discourse, Swami said, you hear through the ears of others, you speak through the mouth of others, and you think through the mind of others. What are you doing by yourself? Essentially, he was talking about the media and so on and so forth. I mean, I find it absolutely frustrating and revolting that somebody starts some rumor somewhere. Is it true Swami is going to appear in 6 years from now? He's supposed to have said this somewhere. Buzz. Everybody asks phone call. You try to talk about a discourse or something, everybody goes to sleep or say, I have more interesting things to see. They don't pay attention. So we are voluntarily surrendering away the ladder that will take us to God. Ascent of man. How can you climb? You can't fly. What a climb. And the ladder is gone. See, what can I do? There is no ladder. It's a lot of blur.
Here, Swami, later I think, give some very beautiful analogies, you know, about swimming. How you have to be able to leave behind some things. It brings in the idea of sacrifice and how sacrifice is essentially a means to move forward more than anything else. I think this is an idea which is different in the world today. When people say that we have to grab.
I agree. But sacrifice, he doesn't mean, you know, really material. Taking and giving it.
Knowledge and money. He says knowledge and
the attachment must be sacrificed. Attachment is sacrificed. Now, Janaka is the classic example. He said, I wear a crown, but the crown has nothing to do with me. I am ready to go and sit in the forest. There is one man who actually did it, in the sense of not craving for power. And that man was Harry Truman. You might not know who he is. He was vice president when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president.
Okay.
And Roosevelt died in 1944 due to cerebral hemorrhage. I was in Karachi at that time. I didn't know what cerebral hemorrhage is. The blood vessel bursting
in the head.
And Truman became the president of America. And he was the president when the war ended, and he was the one who ordered the atom bomb to be dropped and all that. Then afterwards, in 1948, he contested. Newspapers declared that fellow was elected. I forget his name. But he was wrong. Actually, Truman won the election.
No.
And then he could have stood one more time, according to law. He didn't. In 1952, he retired. Eisenhower took over. Then he has to leave. He has the presidential prerogative. There will be a escort and he'll go by plane and all that. He said, I don't want that. He had his old car. So he said, honey, get in to his... And he just drove all the way from Washington, D.C. to Independence, Missouri. It's a small town. It's almost 1,000 miles. He stopped at hotels. He paid for the petrol everywhere. And he said, I don't need this. I'm not a beggar. I can go. He was offered a lot of jobs. He refused. He said, you don't want me. You want the presidency. It is not for sale. Can you see anybody talk like that? He was a real tough guy. He said, you don't want me. You want the title. I have former president. That is not for sale. I mean, even in this Kali Yuga, there are people like that. Amazing. But that is real rugged American independence. But that is detachment.
Right.
That is detachment. How many people are going to do this? I remember one day Swami asked me to talk to a group that had come from Texas. He had undergone the hip fracture. Okay. And he was still not giving the darshan. But he was expected to come for one day. Mm-hmm. That was the first darshan when this group was performing a drama. In okay. that, what is that?
Kalyan Mandap.
Kalyan Mandap, which is called something. Sai Kishan Hall, isn't it?
Yes.
Right.
Sai Kishan Hall. So actually he came in the golf cart. But he asked me and someone else to keep these people engaged by giving talks. I gave a talk. And people ask questions. I always allow questions. One small boy put up his hand. They all said, shut up. Then I didn't intervene. And as I was bringing to my talk and Q&A to a close, the boy again put up his hand. Everybody said, shut up. He said, no, give him a chance. And that boy dropped a bombshell.
Okay.
He said, you talk of detachment. Then why is Sai Baba going in a maroon BMW car? Oh boy, they were about to kill him.
No wonder they were trying to put him down. No.
So I said, wait. You have asked a question and I have to give answer. I said, you have asked a very good question. What Swami says is, you use objects of the world, but don't become attached to it.
Right.
So Swami is not attached to the car. He was never attached to anything. Tomorrow, if needed, he will walk just like that. He has been used to that. So a president cannot come in a bullock cart. He has to come in a dignified manner, in a parade and all those sort of things. So he has to maintain a certain status. That car was given with love by a devotee. Just to make the devotee happy, he runs. Goes by the car. He was very satisfied. And all these people are like, oh my God.
That was a very good one.
So shall we go to the next clip in this discourse?
What we have to sacrifice today is not sacrifice of money alone. మనము దుర్గుణములు కూడా త్యాగం చేయాలి. వి హావ్ టు సాక్రిఫైస్ బ్యాడ్ క్వాలిటీస్. త్యాగం అంటే ఏమిటి? వాట్ డు యు మీన్ బై సాక్రిఫైస్? మన దుర్గుణాలు త్యాగం చేయటమే నిజమైన త్యాగము. రియల్ సాక్రిఫైస్ ఈజ్ సాక్రిఫైసింగ్ అండ్ రినౌన్సింగ్. అంతేకాని ఆస్తి ఆది వీడి అడవి కేకుట కాదు. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ లీవింగ్ ది ఫ్యామిలీ అండ్ వైఫ్ అండ్ గోయింగ్ టు ఫారెస్ట్. భావమందు దుష్ట భావము వీడుటే త్యాగమగును, అది యోగమగును. గివింగ్ అప్ bad ideas and bad feelings in one's thinking and feeling, that is real sacrifice, real renunciation and yoga. Giving up family is not a big thing at all.
Dhanadhanyamulu visarjinchadam goppa tyagam emi kaadu.
It is not a great sacrifice even giving up money.
Manasu patti ivanni sulabhanga manam tyagam cheyavachchu.
It is perhaps very easy to sacrifice these things.
Kaani మనలో దుర్గుణాలను వదలటమే నిజమైన త్యాగం.
గివింగ్ అప్ బ్యాడ్ క్వాలిటీస్ ఇన్ అస్ ఈజ్ ఎ రియల్ రినౌన్సియేషన్ ఆర్ సాక్రిఫైస్.
అప్పుడే మన యొక్క మానవత్వం పరిపూర్ణమైన మానవత్వంగా రూపొందుతుంది.
దెన్ ఓన్లీ దాట్ హ్యూమానిటీ ఇన్ అస్ బ్లాజమ్స్ ఫోర్త్ అండ్ బికమ్స్ పర్ఫెక్ట్.
విద్యార్థులారా, మానవుడు మానవుడుగా జీవించడానికైనా ప్రయత్నించడం చాలా గొప్ప పని.
డియర్ స్టూడెంట్స్, మ్యాన్ హ్యాస్ టు లివ్ అట్లీస్ట్ యాజ్ ఎ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్.
మానవత్వాన్ని మనం పశుత్వంగా అనుభవించటము, ఇది మానవత్వానికి కళంకము.
ఇట్ డజంట్ బిఫిట్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్స్ టు కండక్ట్ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ యాజ్ యానిమల్స్.
కామక్రోధ లోభ మోహమద్వాత్సల్యమైనటువంటివి ఈ అరిషడ్ వర్గము లోపల మానవుణ్ణి కేవలం హతమార్చి వేస్తున్నది.
దీస్ సిక్స్ ఎనిమీస్ ఆఫ్ మ్యాన్ లైక్ డిజైర్, యాంగర్ ఎట్సెట్రా ఆర్ డిస్ట్రాయింగ్ ది హ్యూమన్ క్వాలిటీ ఇన్ హిమ్.
చంద్రమా మనసోజాత చక్షో సూర్యో అజాయతాని. చంద్రునికి 16 కళలు.
మూన్ హ్యాస్ 16 ఆస్పెక్ట్స్.
ఈ 16 కళలు పూర్ణమైనటువంటి స్థితిని పొందినప్పుడే అదే పరిపూర్ణ స్థితిని పొంది తనలో ఎట్టి మచ్చలు లేకుండా ప్రశాంతమైన ప్రకాంతిని లోకానికి అందిస్తుంది.
ఓన్లీ వెన్ దీస్ 16 ఆస్పెక్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ మూన్ డెవలప్ టు ఇట్ దర్ ఫుల్ పర్ఫెక్షన్,
చంద్రుడు 16 కళలను పెంచుకుంటే జగత్తుకు చక్కని ఆదర్శం.
దెన్ ఓన్లీ మూన్ కెన్ బికమ్ ఎ రియల్ ఐడియల్ అండ్ మోడల్.
కానీ మానవుని యందు 16 కళలు ఉంటున్నాయి. ఈ 16 కళలను నిర్మూలన చేసినప్పుడే మానవత్వానికి గొప్ప ప్రకాశం.
ఇన్ కాంట్రాస్ట్ విత్ దిస్, మ్యాన్ హ్యాస్ టు డిస్ట్రాయ్ ది 16 ఆస్పెక్ట్స్ విచ్ హి హ్యాస్ ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు డెవలప్ హింసెల్ఫ్ ఇంటూ గాడ్.
ఏమిటి ఈ 16 కళలు?
వాట్ ఆర్ దీస్ 16 ఆస్పెక్ట్స్?
అర్హత్ వర్గములు 6.
6 ఎనిమీస్ ఆఫ్ మ్యాన్.
మదములు 8 అష్టమదములోని.
There are 8 types of pride or vanity.
Rajo tamo gunamulu rendu cheriste 16 gunamulu avutayi.
The qualities of rajas and tamas together become 16 aspects.
Ee 16 kalalanu kudalu manam nirmoolam gavinchukovali.
You have to destroy and eliminate these 16 aspects in man.
Anninti enduku nu daivatvanni divyatvanni manam visvasinchali.
We should firmly believe divinity as existing in everything and as all.
Adu lekunda kevalamu మానవత్వంతోనే మనం జీవించడానికి ప్రయత్నించినప్పుడు ఇది కొంతవరకును మానవత్వాన్ని కూడాను కొంచెం చెడపడానికి ప్రయత్నిస్తుంది.
వితౌట్ సచ్ ఫెయిత్ ఆఫ్ డివినిటీ, ఇఫ్ మ్యాన్ లివ్స్ ఓన్లీ యాజ్ అ మ్యాన్, ఎ టైమ్ విల్ కమ్ వెన్ హీ విల్ ఫాల్ ఇన్ టు ఎన్ ఎనిమీ.
మానవుని యందు ఉన్నటువంటి కర్తృత్వ భోక్తృత్వాన్ని మనము కొంతవరకు తగ్గించుకోవాలి.
ద డూయర్షిప్ అండ్ ద ఎంజాయర్షిప్ ఇన్ మ్యాన్ విల్ హావ్ టు బి
అన్నిటిలో భగవంతునికి అర్పితం చేసి సర్వం బ్రహ్మమయం అనేటువంటి ఒక స్థితి లోపల సత్కర్మలు మనం ఆచరిస్తూ పోయినప్పుడు సర్వం కూడా నువ్వు భగవంతుడే సహాయపరుస్తాడు.
వెన్ వి పర్ఫార్మ్ గుడ్ డీడ్స్ ఆఫరింగ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ యాజ్ అన్ ఆఫరింగ్ టు ద లార్డ్, గాడ్ విల్ హెల్ప్ అస్ టు అటైన్ హిమ్.
భాగవతంలో మీకు తెలిసినటువంటి విషయమే,
యు నో ద ఇన్స్టెన్స్ ఇన్
భాగవతం, భక్తుడైనటువంటి పోతన భాగవతమునకు ప్రారంభిస్తూ పలికెడిది భాగవతమట పలికించె విభుందు రామభద్రుండట, పలికెడిది భాగవతమట పలికించెడి వాడు రామభద్రుండట, నే పలికిన భవహర మగునట పలికెద వేరుండు గాద పలుకగనేలా. అన్ని భగవంతుడి, పలికించెడి వాడు భగవంతుడే, పలికేవాడు భగవంతుడే, రాసేవాడు భగవంతుడే, రాయించేవాడు భగవంతుడే, ఏదో నన్ను నిమిత్త మాత్రంగా తీసుకుని ఈ విధంగా రాయిస్తున్నాడని పోతనామాచ్యుడు ప్రారంభంలోనే భగవంతునికి అర్పితం చేసి తన యొక్క కావ్యాన్ని ప్రారంభించాడు.
సుప్రీం పోయట్ డివోటీ పోతన స్టార్టెడ్ రైటింగ్ భాగవత విత్ అన్ ఆఫరింగ్ టు ద గాడ్, స్టేటింగ్ దట్ గాడ్ ఈస్ ద వన్ హూ మేక్స్ హిమ్ అట్టర్, హూ మేక్స్ హిమ్ రైట్, హూ మేక్స్ హిమ్ అడోర్, అండ్ హీఈస్ ఓన్లీ అన్ ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంట్.
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఆధ్యాత్మిక భావము చేత తాను భాగవతమును వ్రాయటం వల్లనే ఇక్కడ ఈ ఒక్క పదమునందే తత్వం అసే అనేటువంటి యొక్క దివ్యత్వం ఇమిడి ఉంటుండాలి.
యాజ్ పోతన అండర్టుక్ టు రైట్ విత్ సచ్ లాఫ్టీ నోబుల్ సేక్రెడ్ ఐడియల్స్ అబౌట్ భాగవతం, దిస్ తత్వం అసి వాజ్ ఇన్కార్పొరేటెడ్ ఇన్ దట్.
పలికెడిది భాగవతమట పలికించెడి వాడు, వాడు అదే భగవంతుడు.
దట్ ద వన్ హూ ఈజ్ మేకింగ్ హిమ్ అట్టర్ ఈజ్ వాడు, దట్ ఈస్ భగవాన్.
నే పలికిన, నే ఇది నే జీవాత్ముడు.
దెర్ ఇస్ దట్ రెఫరెన్స్ టు నే, దట్ ఈస్ ఐ. ఇఫ్ ఐ వర్ టు
వాడు పరమాత్ముడు, నేను జీవాత్ముడు.
ద వన్ హూ మేక్స్ మీ అట్టర్ ఈజ్ గాడ్.
తమ్ అసి ఈ రెండింటి యొక్క ఏకత్వమే ఈ భాగవతము అన్నాడు.
దిస్ భాగవత దేర్ ఫోర్ హీ జస్ట్ సెడ్ దేర్ ఇస్ తత్ దట్ అండ్ త్వం.
ఈ భాగవతమునందే మానవత్వానికి సరైన మార్గములను ఇమిడించుకుంటూ వచ్చాడు.
హీ ఇన్కార్పొరేటెడ్ ఇన్ భాగవత దోస్ సేక్రెడ్ థింగ్స్ విచ్ విల్ బి వెరీ హెల్ప్ఫుల్ టు మ్యాన్.
మొట్టమొదట భక్తి ఆధారము.
ఇన్ ది వెరీ ఫస్ట్ ఇన్స్టెన్స్ డివోషన్ ఈజ్ ది వెరీ బేసిస్.
భక్తి క్రమక్రమేణా పెరుగుతూ రాగా అది ఏ జ్ఞానస్వరూపాన్ని పొందుతుంది.
యాజ్ ఇట్ గ్రోస్ అండ్ మెచ్యూర్స్ ఇట్ బికమ్స్ విజ్డమ్ ఆర్ నాలెడ్జ్.
ఈ జ్ఞానం ముదిరిపోయినప్పుడే మనకు వైరాగ్యము ప్రాప్తిస్తుంది.
వెన్ దిస్ నాలెడ్జ్ మెచ్యూర్స్ అండ్ ఫ్రక్టిఫైస్ ఇట్ బికమ్స్
ఈ వైరాగ్యం అంటే
డిటాచ్మెంట్
తత్వం అనేటువంటిది మనం అర్థం చేసుకోగలుగుతాం.
ఇన్ దట్ స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ డిటాచ్మెంట్ వీ అండర్స్టాండ్ ద తత్వం.
ఈ తత్వజ్ఞానాన్ని గుర్తించినటువంటి వ్యక్తియే ముక్తిని పొందగలడు.
ద వన్ హూ రికగ్నైజెస్ దిస్ తత్వ జ్ఞాన హీ గెట్స్ లిబరేటెడ్.
కనుకనే భాగవతం అనేటువంటి యొక్క పదముల యొక్క శబ్దములందే ఈ ఐదింటి యొక్క రహస్యము ఇమిడి ఉంటున్నది.
దిస్ వర్డ్ భాగవతం కన్సిస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద ఎసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దీస్ ఫైవ్ థింగ్స్.
భాగవతము ఇది ఐదు అక్షరాలు.
దేర్ ఆర్ ఫైవ్ లెటర్స్ భాగవతము.
ఇవే పంచభూతములు.
దిస్ ఆర్ ఫైవ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్.
ఇవే పంచేంద్రియములు.
దిస్ ఆర్ ఫైవ్ సెన్సెస్.
ఇవే పంచకోశములు.
దిస్ ఆర్ ఫైవ్ షీట్స్.
ఇదే పంచ ప్రాణములు.
దిస్ ఆర్ ఫైవ్ లైఫ్స్.
ఈ పంచ ప్రాణముల యొక్క సన్నిహితమైన సంబంధ బాంధవ్యమే దివ్యత్వము.
డివినిటీ ఈజ్ ద యూనిటీ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దీస్ ఫైవ్ లైఫ్స్.
భా ఇదే భక్తి.
భా స్టాండ్స్ ఫర్ భక్తి డివోషన్.
గా ఇదే జ్ఞానము.
ద Ta stands for knowledge.
Na ide vairagyamu.
Va stands for detachment.
Ta ide tattvamu.
Ta stands for principle.
Mu ide mukti. Ide bhagavatamu anetvanti.
Mu stands for liberation.
Bhakti, jnana, vairagya, tattvamulu yokka sammilita sambandhame mukti.
It is the combination of devotion, knowledge, detachment, tattvam, principle, and that itself is liberation.
Kanuka prati manavuniki kudanu bhakti atyavasaramu. Ide punadi.
Therefore, every person should have devotion. That is the very basis and foundation.
That discourse clip where Swami was very beautifully connecting the various things he spoke till now. You know, he spoke about bhakti, he spoke about having detachment, he spoke about having that focus that everything is God. Now he's putting it all together in that one word, Bhagavatamu. Very beautifully in that hierarchy which Swami gave, when you have bhakti, when bhakti, you know, fructifies, it becomes jnana. When jnana reaches the limit, it becomes vairagya. And vairagya will lead you to a tattvam, which will eventually lead you to mukti.
Right, that is Bhagavatam for one and all. We limit Bhagavatam more or less to the wonderful stories of the Lord, which are very nice to recollect and go back into. And we get lost in the Leelas, but I suppose this is the inner meaning of Bhagavatam. And even in Swami's life, as Swami says, my life is my message. There is nothing greater than, you know, going back, visiting his life and then trying to understand what he was teaching us every moment of his life.
But I want to sound one caution.
Yes.
There is what you call a great tendency to use Bhagavatam and know Swami's life as a soft escape path.
Okay.
I have not heard anybody improve by listening to stories. At best, he is probably off Facebook and away from the cell phone. This has become a very popular thing. You talk about Swami and his leelas and message in stories. It doesn't improve you in one bit. It doesn't refine you. What is refinement? Culture. Swami says culture really means concern for others. And I am very deeply worried that today's people, they are all in the bubble of security. And they are not affected by the outside world problems. But that will swallow you if you are not careful. It's already happening in terms of climate change. We talk of Panchabhuta. Swami talks about the Vayu. Vayu is being polluted like anything. Jalam is being polluted like anything. I mean, it has come to a stage where the amount of trash in the Pacific is so huge, it cannot be cleaned anymore. And land, the man has created so many new chemicals which did not exist in nature. And you put them and bury them in ground, they cannot decay, they cannot do, they have polluted the land. So land which God created and gave us free has been polluted, water has been polluted, air has been polluted. And we are in denial. But we talk religion and spirituality, we do it in all religions. This is self-deception. Whereas, Bhagavatam requires you to develop vairagyam. Where is the vairagyam? I don't think they know either the spelling or the meaning. So, I am very concerned about that. And if I talk, try to draw attention of the people to that, they say, you are being very negative, you are being pessimistic. That's because they want candy. But, what are you contributing to society? Swami always said in his convocation discourse, you owe a lot to society. You know, when Kennedy became the president, he delivered the what you call inauguration speech. Right. And in the end he said, ask not what America can do for you, ask instead what you can do for America. Swami said it in a much higher plane. Ask not what society can do for you. Ask what you can do for society. You have always got more. Almost in all the convocation address, he said, you are going out. Don't say, I am not getting this, I am not getting that. No, society is not doing this. you owe more to society. And society is just a part of nature. So unless you, if you don't know how to serve your family and society, how are you going to serve nature? So there are very deep, that vairagyam that you talked about. I want to know one person who lectures on Bhagavatam who talks about vairagyam.
Correct.
They want to hear stories. And the guy who heard those stories first got bitten by a snake. Are you ready to get bitten by a snake? No, I want only the fruit, not the worm in it.
In fact, that is why they say when Vivekananda goes to Mother Kali, he doesn't stop at bhakti and jnana. He says, give me bhakti, jnana and vairagya. Because he realizes that without vairagya, none of these can take you anywhere, even if you have the highest wisdom. He says, give me bhakti, jnana and vairagya.
You know, talking of Vivekananda and this thing, I was reading a book of his, which was lying with me for a long time. I happened to be traveling and I read it. I was just fascinated. There is a monk who is asking him a lot of questions. He blasts him. He says, you are a parasite. You say you are a sannyasi, you want free food. You have got a lot of worldly knowledge. Go outside and teach our Indians history, geography, mathematics, science. That fellow is shocked. He said, our people have become lazy, inactive. They are tamasic. First make them rajasic. America has become rajasic. That's why I teach them. First make our people, you know, earn money, selfish, enjoy. Then you come with the hammer and say, now give it up. So he says, you must serve. That's why, you know, when he meditated in Kanyakumari, he gets a vision service. And when he came back from his tours, he did two tours. First was long, second was short. He said, a hungry man wants food. He does not want religion. And he changed it completely. He really took to service in a very active way. So, he realized the importance of worldly knowledge for those who need it, but also the need to get rid of the attachments that come from worldly knowledge. You have to go through a certain phase before you are ready to give them up. What do I give up when I have nothing and I am hungry? So he really understood. He blasted, you are a parasite. You are not doing anything. You are only talking of how I will get moksha. That is, as I reminds me, once in a discourse, Swami was talking. Suddenly got very angry. He emptied the moksha, moksha, moksha. Very selfish. You will never get moksha. Go out and serve, serve, serve. Then God will come and say, Bangaru, Ekrunadu, I am ready with moksha. You cannot feel like that. I can't see you. That is the kind of this thing. So action cannot be renounced.
Right.
Action is to be practiced in a selfless manner that will help the others.
Right.
And one of the interesting thing about it is it's a non-dual thing. Because through action the other person becomes happy. And I also become happy. In the world of the market, it's a zero-sum game. If I win, you lose. There is no winner, there's no loser. Both are winners. That's a very subtle thing about it.
I think it's a very subtle point where Vivekananda said you have to first feed the man who's hungry.
Absolutely.
Because what we have done is given religion to a man who's hungry, so he looks for food through religion. He doesn't look for what religion is there to give, but he tries to fill his needs through religion.
Before going on to that Bhagavatam point, Swami makes that beautiful point about Kartrutva and Bhoktrutva. He says you should give up the sense of doership and enjoyership.
The 16 kalas, in fact, he says.
Yes.
The Arshadvargas, the 8 types of
pride,
which Swami mentioned in an earlier discourse, and the 2 qualities of Rajas, Tamas, and doership and enjoyership.
Enjoyership. And more or less, he gives an example of how you can go about giving up this doership by offering it to the Lord. He gives the example of Potana and the Bhagavatam.
I think even before that, he made that thing of, we were speaking about sacrifice. Yes, Swami saying the only sacrifice I expect out of you is sacrifice of your evil qualities.
Yes.
In fact, he used to add one analogy. The currency notes, all except 1 rupee, is printed by the Reserve Bank. Reserve Bank guarantees 2 rupees and upwards. 1 rupee is guaranteed by the government of India. So on 1 rupee note, you will find the secretary, Ministry of Finance signature. 2 rupees and above, the signature of the governor of the Reserve Bank. So, if you take, I've got a crumpled note, you can get it exchanged in the Reserve Bank for a brand new note. Mm-hmm. So I used to say, you bring the crumpled note, I'll give you a brand new note, currency note. In the old days, I heard him say that.
I think the problem is you're not sure we'll get it back.
No, I can't.
That lack of faith.
No, I can't change it because it's black money.
Right.
That's amazing.
Then the thing about, again, about sacrifice, where Swami was, you know, going on saying, it's very easy to sacrifice family and hearth, and, you know, we generally think sacrifice is only that.
No, that's why people are divorcing.
And I remember once Swami had told in a discourse about detachable attachment. You know, Swami would say that attachment to an extent is required when you're a family man, when you're living in a in the society. But the ability to give it up, to understand and know the time frame of that attachment is very, very important.
See, the point here is the attachment early part is connected with providing security.
Right.
But at some point you have to realize you are getting attached to the body and the body is transient. Your objective must be the long term, not the medium and short term. So at some point you have to change it. That's why he is calling for that. The earlier part of attachment is connected with your inbuilt duties. Otherwise it becomes neglect. So for survival of society, there is a dharma. You have to do that. The grahastha was invented just so that the sadhus can be fed. And the sadhus were needed in order to spread spirituality. So they specialize, they will go to villages and then they will say, today you must come and have, give us the privilege of feeding you. That's how that famous Buddha story comes. And Buddha goes to a village and they call him, please come. One lady comes and calls him. They say, she is a bad character, she will not go.
Mm-hmm.
And Buddha scolds them, she is bad because you are bad. Otherwise she was good. I am going to her house. Like, there's a similar story in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She said, what did you do? She washed her my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair. None of you did it. So, there is a principle there. So, it is necessary to go through certain things because you are put in that position. That is a Varna system. God decides you will be this. You have to do that. But you should, in the process, you should not develop worldly attachments. That is why we had a phase called Vanaprastha and finally Sannyasin.
Correct.
Right. And sir, well, it would be nice if we could dwell a little more on this. What Swami said, from bhakti, you have to go to jnana. In a sense, I think for all devotees of Swami, the transition seems to be a little slow in coming from knowing about Swami and... yes, we have about 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay, very good.
And how do we make that transition?
See,
that
very simple.
Go beyond...
The bhakti, you start with, actually, you need to focus your mind. The mind is not capable of grasping infinity. Tukaram says, O Krishna, this Tukha is a fool. How can Tukha understand infinity? For sake of Tukha, you have come as Krishna, 5 feet or 6 feet.
Right.
I say in this Kali Yuga, Swami has made it even clear, much easier. I can carry Swami in my pocket. That's what I always do. Tukha has got abhang, beautiful abhang. I made a clay, the Shiva out of clay.
Mm-hmm.
I offered my love to the idol, but it went to Shiva. The idol was only a pathway. Like that he says, I made this thing of Amba. I prayed to Amba. The prayer went to Amba. The statue remained where it is. So bhakti is a way of concentrating your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can talk any rubbish to God. Say, I want this, I want that. But at least you are asking God, you are not asking some bank. So the first thing. Then at some point that you have to realize that God is not confined to an idol. He is something more. Then you are slowly sort of walking into the path of jnana. And jnana is when you see God everywhere. I don't think most of your devotees notice how many times Swami has stressed omnipresence.
Right.
Because unless you recognize omnipresence, you are fragmenting God. You are putting God into a cupboard, you are putting God into an idol. You are saying God is only here, He is not there. That is all right in KG. How long can you be in KG? Huh? There is a time when you have to get out, go to college, get your degree, go look for a job and all that. So, bhakti is just like, you know, college. Afterwards you have to go to the job. That's a tough job. And in this case, going to jnana. And it is, when you have that feeling that everything is God, you will not dare to hurt anything because you are hurting God. How can I hurt God? And if you go to the ultimate, you will say, if everything is God and I am here, I must also be God. So, I am God. Aham Brahmasmi. So, it is that transition. That transition does not come in one janma.
Right.
But if you keep on doing that, you continuously refine it over janmas. And in the Gita, Bhagavan says, ultimately there will come a janma where there will be an option. The most eligible fellow will be born very poor.
Mm-hmm.
The not so eligible but who is within the reach of the goalpost will be born in a slightly richer family.
Okay.
And I find an astonishing example of this in Ramakrishna Paramahamsa and Vivekananda. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was as poor as a church mouse, as they say in England. Vivekananda was a middle class family, very financially very in a very tight situation, and he had to go to college. He was about to join, but then he said no. The call came from mother. That is influence of Ramakrishna. He is born for something else. So he sort of converted him. Actually, there is a very interesting story. Vivekananda, Narendra was not convinced about Atma business.
Mm-hmm.
What is this? Thakur is saying Atma, this is Atma. He is walking in the Maidan, that is a place in Calcutta. Steel gate. Oh, this gate is Atma. He kicks it. Atma is hurting. And he goes on. He is not convinced. He goes there and like Swami, probably Ramakrishna asked me, Emi Samacharam, stuff like that. Then he goes near him and touches, and he has described, something happened to me. I found that slowly things started disappearing, the wall disappeared, this, that. And everything disappeared. I was in some place, I was in ecstasy. I wanted to be there forever. And Guruji taps him. He comes back. He said, why did you bring me back? I was enjoying bliss. And the Guruji says, that was a free sample. You have to work before you get this. And there is one other time when he had that samadhi. There is a lake in America, in northern, you know, New York, upstate. Mm-hmm. I have gone to Lake Placid, but it's near that. Absolutely calm. It seems even, and that house is still there and all that, everything is preserved. There's even a plaque, I've been told. He went into a trance. And Swami has said about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was always in a trance, he said. When he was in the uppermost state, he was like lifeless but in ecstasy. When he was in the middle stage, he will sing in ecstasy. When he was in the lower state, awake, he will dance like a madman and sing. But he was always the sort of lower level of samadhi. So, that is, I don't remember what you were asking, but you talked of Vivekananda. And Vivekananda was sort of born in the other state. And of course, he attained mukti and Ramakrishna. But this is the evolution Krishna describes in the Gita.
That is the evolution from bhakti to jnana.
Jnana, and then ultimately to mukti.
There's one episode in the life of Tukaram, as you're mentioning. He says that he goes to that place where they feed these birds. All these little sparrows come there, you can go and throw some grains. So as soon as he goes, the birds fly away. And it seems Tukaram starts crying. He said, Vithala, I thought you were in me. If you're in me, how can anybody be scared of me? Which means I have not become you still. And he starts crying. He goes into that bhava, he starts crying. And as he stands there crying, it seems the birds come back and come and sit on him. And he's in that oneness with God and oneness with creation. I think, as you said, sir, the journey might take over births, but I think it is our duty to make sure that the direction is at least right.
No, but that comes from faith.
Right.
You see, if I really love Swami, you see, actually devotees have a great advantage, others have a great handicap. In the case of a devotee, I can simply say, I will not do anything that will make Swami unhappy.
Right.
So that will give me a direction. But if I don't have anything like that, I am sort of without a compass.
Right.
It requires a lot of effort. Our job is, in principle, a lot easier.
Right.
But that of others is a lot harder. In other words, we have been given a great boon, prasadam, but we are not using it. That's our problem.
In fact, that's exactly the definition Swami gave to Sharanagati. In one of the interviews, he told some devotees, every action you do, think, will Swami like this and approve this?
Yeah, that is the simple moral test. Is Swami going to like this or not? And that is where the voice of conscience must be heard. You see, we are talking of signal and noise. The mind is capable of imitating the conscience and misleading you. But Swami said, very simple, if the mind gives many options, if you get many options from the source, that is bogus. Bangkok Rolex. Okay. If you get only one option, that is the conscience. And the chatter of the mind must be subdued.
Silenced.
Silence. Mind must be silenced. That's why in the old days in the South Indian canteen there used to be board. It is only in the depth of silence you can hear the voice of God. So, just as in acoustics we are trying to reduce noise, the noise of the generated mind is a huge obstacle.
So on that optimistic note that being devotees gives us a little bit of edge than others.
Not little, huge edge.
Huge edge over others. I think, thank you sir for being on the program on behalf of all our listeners. Thank you for this enlightening session. Dear listeners, we hope you like this part of Shravanam Nanam Nididhyasanam. Would love to hear from you. You can write your feedback and your comments to listener@radiosai.org. On behalf of Venkatraman sir, on behalf of Sai Prakash, my brother here, and myself, we offer this humble effort of ours at Swami's Lotus Feet. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.